This Mishnah continues to discuss the laws of the 40 loaves which accompany a korban toidah, 10 of which are made of chometz, and 30 of which are made of three different types of matzah loaves. And the main point of this Mishnah is to show that the holiness and sanctity of these loaves is dependent upon the slaughtering of the actual korban itself. After all, these loaves are coming to accompany the korban, and although the loaves became sanctified already as soon as the flour was put into a utensil, which is part of the service of the done in the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, its full degree of holiness and sanctity is only achieved once the actual korban has been slaughtered. And as such, the Mishnah tells us, HaShechit HaToydah B'fnim, one who slaughters the korban toydah inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, whilst the lachma chutz lachoyma, its loaves of bread, are situated outside of the wall. Now there's a big discussion as to what exactly this means that it's situated outside of the wall. It possibly means that it's outside of the wall of the courtyard, and according to that, there is a law learnt from Pesukim that the loaves need to be situated inside the actual courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash for them to become properly sanctified. However, the conclusion of the Gemara is that the loaves only need to be within Yerushalayim. Others explain it to refer to a different wall. We're going to understand simply that it's referring to being within the walls of Yerushalayim. So if the loaves are situated outside of Yerushalayim, then Kodesh Alechem, the loaves do not become sanctified via the slaughtering of the korban toydah. In addition, the loaves have to have been fully processed at the time that the slaughtering takes place, and as such, if they slaughtered the korban, the toydah sacrifice, before the loaves have crusted in the oven, which is considered to be once they're fully baked, the crusting is considered to be the completion of that process of baking. And the Mishnah adds that afilu korban kulon chutz me'echad mehen, even if all of the 40 loaves have crusted over except for one of them. It says the Mishnah lekodesh alechem, none of the loaves become sanctified via the slaughtering, because not all of them are ready and fit to be an offering already at that stage. Now what about if the slaughtering of the korban is invalid? The Mishnah says it depends. Shechata chutz lizmano. If Kohen slaughtered, or somebody slaughtered the sacrifice of the toydah, the animal which was designated for that korban, and he had an invalidating intention of chutz lizmano, of eating that korban beyond the time limit, or of burning part of it on the mizbeach beyond the time limit, or he had an invalidating intention of eating or burning part of the korban outside of the place where it is supposed to be burnt or eaten. As we saw in great detail in the beginning of this Masechta and in Zvachim, this would invalidate the korban. If it was an intention to continue the procedure beyond the time limit, it would be considered pigel, such that if somebody ate that meat later on, he would be liable to the punishment of koreis. Be as it may, in all of these cases, the slaughtering was performed on the korban, however, it invalidated the korban. However, since the slaughtering itself was fully valid, and the invalidation was due to a requirement of the korban specifically, so the law is that kodesh alechem, the loaves do gain their full level of sanctity, although their status is the same as the korban itself, so the loaves would also become pigel, or at least invalid if the intention was regarding the place. On the other hand, shechata v'nitzis treifa, if he slaughtered the animal and it is discovered to be a treifa, which is an animal which has an internal wound or blemish, which means that it is forbidden to eat or to bring it as a sacrifice, this means that that animal was never fit to be a korban, and the slaughtering is not valid at all, and therefore it does not give a status of full sanctity and holiness to the loaves. As the Mishnah says, the Kodesh HaLechem, the loaves do not become fully sanctified. Now the same would apply if he slaughters the animal and it is discovered to be a Baal Mum, an animal which has any wound which makes it an invalid korban. The Mishnah now discusses a case where Shechot of an Insis Baalas Mum, he slaughtered it and then he realizes that the animal is actually invalid because of a wound which it has. But we're talking about a specific wound in the eye of the animal, which is considered to be a very minor wound. And we're going to understand that it is the opinion of this Mishnah that although the korban would be invalid, it is not an absolute invalidation. For example, a korban which is totally invalid and wasn't fit to be slaughtered at all, if it is slaughtered and then part of it is brought to the top of the Mizbeach, the Mishnah in Maseches Zevachim teaches that it has to be taken down. However, if it has only this minor wound and that is the cause of its invalidation, since it's not considered to be totally, totally, absolutely invalid, the law is therefore that if the meat was brought to the top of the Mizbeach, or part of it was brought to the top of the Mizbeach, it does not need to be taken down. And that shows that this is not considered to be an absolute, exclusive invalidation. The question is, what about giving the status of full sanctity to the loaves of bread? So in this case, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kodash. Rabbi Eliezer says that the loaves do become holy, since the slaughtering is not considered to be on a totally invalid korban. It is enough to give sanctity to the loaves, and once again, the loaves would be invalid, just like the animal is invalid to be brought as a korban. However, Chachom say leKodash, the loaves do not become holy. It's not a question of being invalid and needing to be burnt. They're just not holy. They haven't got that sanctity of regular korbanos. Now, the next case is where Shechotah Shelo Lishma, if they slaughtered the animal which was designated to be brought as that korban, with the intention of it being for the sake of a different korban. The Mishnah at the beginning of this Masechta, as well as at the beginning of the previous Masechta, Masechta Zevachim, the Mishnah is taught that for the vast majority of korbanos, the korban is considered to be valid, even if the intention of the person slaughtering it was for the sake of it to be a different korban. Although, ideally, he should not have that intention, it does not invalidate the korban. So I would have thought that in such a case where the person slaughtered the animal with the intention of it being a different type of korban, since the korban is valid, so the loaves of bread accompanying it should become sanctified. However, there is an additional pasuk to teach us that is not the case. Shechotah Shelo Lishma, if he slaughtered the animal for the sake of it to be a different korban, and the same applies to the ram which was bought when the Mishkan was first set up and the Kohanim began their service, and accompanying that korban which was bought were many loaves, and we should add the same applies to the loaves which accompany a Nozir's korban, and similarly the two lambs which are bought on Shavuos as korbanos, if they were slaughtered for the sake of being different korbanos, lo kodesh halechem. In all of these cases, the bread which accompanies those korbanos does not gain its full sanctity, even though the korban itself is still considered to be somewhat valid. And this is an additional law which is learnt from a pasuk. Mishnah Dalet. This Mishnah is related to the subject discussed in the previous Mishnah, Nesochim. This refers to the flour and wine which accompany a korban oilah and a korban shalomim. Since this is there to accompany the korban, we're going to see similar laws to the previous Mishnah. So if these nesochim, the flour and oil, shakodshu bakli, that have been sanctified in a utensil, until they've been added to a utensil used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, they're not considered to be sanctified fully at all. Although even once they've been put in, that's only considered to be half sanctified, and we wait until the actual korban has been slaughtered, and at that point they become fully sanctified, very similar to what we saw in the previous Mishnah regarding the loaves which accompany a korban. So these nesochim have been added into a utensil, the nimtzah zevach posel, and the animal korban, oilah, or korban shalomim, is discovered to be invalid. Now the truth is we're discussing a case where it was discovered to be invalid after the slaughtering. So the nesochim did gain the full level of sanctity. They have the same status, so to speak, as a korban. And then the main korban which they are accompanying is discovered to be invalid. It became invalid after it was slaughtered. Im yesh shom zevach acher, if there is another korban there in the Beis HaMikdosh which needs to be offered up, and the Sochim have not yet been designated for that korban, and the Gemara adds an additional condition that other korban has already been slaughtered, in such a case, yikru imoy, these Nesochim, the flour and wine, should be brought to accompany that other korban. The Gemara explains that we're talking specifically about Nesochim which were designated originally to accompany a korban brought on behalf of the public, not an individual's korban, but a korban oilah or shlomim which is brought on behalf of everybody. In such a case, there is a unstated condition at the time that the flour and wine is designated to be holy and to be used for the sake of this particular korban, that it should only be so on condition that that korban will be valid and bought and the procedure will be completed. And only because that condition is made can we have such an idea that if the korban ends up being invalid, we can transfer the flour and wine to a different korban. In general, there's no such thing. If they were designated to accompany a particular korban, then that's the only korban that they can accompany. And if the korban becomes invalid, then they also become invalid, just like we saw in the previous Mishnah. If the korban toida becomes invalid, then the loaves which are accompanying it also become invalid, and they need to be burnt. You're not able to now use those loaves for a different korban. However, specifically in this situation, where we're talking about a public korban, in that case, there is an unstated condition at the time that the flour and wine become sanctified, that we only intend it to be sanctified on condition that this korban will end up being valid. Therefore, when we discover the korban to have become invalidated, then the wine and flour, it's as if they were never designated for this specific korban, and we can now use that wine and oil for a different korban. Continues the Mishnah, Ve'lav, if not, meaning if there is not another available korban there which requires nesachim, then yipostabelina, the nesachim, the flour and wine, should be left to become invalidated overnight. If they're left overnight, then they become invalidated and then they can be burnt. Next part of the Mishnah, Vlad Toida, a child born from a korban toida, meaning somebody designated an animal to be bought as a korban toida, a female animal, and that animal then gave birth before he managed to bring the animal as a korban. Since that animal came from an animal which is a korban, so the child is also sanctified and needs to be bought as the identical korban. Utmurasa, and the result of its tamura. Tamura is when somebody has an animal which is designated as a korban, and he makes a statement that he wants to transfer the sanctity and the korban status from this animal to a different animal. And he points to a different animal and he says that I want that animal to be my korban instead of this one. The law is that not only is he not able to do that, and he cannot remove the korban status from the animal which is already designated as a korban, but the law of Tamura says that the other animal which he wanted to make as the korban instead of the original animal, that now also becomes holy and is considered to have that same korban status. As a sort of punishment, you end up now with two animals which are considered to be korbanos. So this is an additional case where we've now got two korbanos toida in front of us as a result of the designation of one original korban toida. And the mission now brings the third case, the hamafresh toidos over ovda. One who separates, he designates an animal to be his korban toida, and then that animal gets lost, v'hivashacheres tachteha, so he separates an additional animal instead of it. So we'd be talking about a case where originally he said that I am accepting upon myself to bring a korban toida. After that, he pointed to a particular animal and he said that this should be for the sake of my vow. And then that animal got lost, and so he pointed to a different animal and designated that one to be for the sake of his original vow. And then he ended up finding his original animal, so he now has two animals in front of him, which are both designated to be that korban toida which he made a vow to bring. In all of these cases, we have two animals which have the status of a korban toida, and they both need to be bought as a korban toida, but they come from one original designation. It was originally supposed to be one animal, one korban. In such a case, although one is obligated to offer up both of those animals as a korban toida, they do not need an additional group of loaves to accompany the korbanos. Only one set of loaves is sufficient. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, v'hikriv al zevachat toida, he should offer together with the sacrifice of the toida the 40 loaves. So we see from there that specifically hatoida tuno lechem. The toida sacrifice itself requires the accompanying of the loaves, but lo v'lod v'lo chalifas v'lo tumirasa tuno lechem. The child of the korban toida, or if the second one was separated because he lost the original one, or the tamura of the original korban toida, when he tried to transfer that sanctity to a different korban, and that one itself became holy because of the law of tamura, to unum lechem, they do not require the accompanying of the 40 loaves. Mishnah Hey, one is obligated to separate a tenth of his produce and bring it to Yerushalayim as Maiser Sheni. Now, it can be very impractical to bring up to Yerushalayim a tenth of the produce which grew that year. And therefore, one would usually redeem it onto money, bring the money up to Yerushalayim, and spend that money in Yerushalayim on food there, which he would eat in Yerushalayim. And that food would gain the status of Maiser Sheni. And in general, they would use the money, and the most preferable way of using the money was on karbonis. However, the law is that Maisesheni money can be spent on voluntary karbonis. But if somebody is obligated to bring a korban, then he's not able to spend Maisesheni money to fulfill his own obligation. And because of that, Ha'oimer, one who states, Hari olai toida, I'm accepting upon myself to bring a korban toida. As soon as he makes that statement, he is now obligated to bring a korban toida. Therefore, Yovi hi v'lachma min achulin, he must bring the animal itself, as well as all of the loaves which accompany the animal from chulin. Chulin refers to money which is not sanctified, it hasn't got the status of Maisesheni. It's from his own pocket. Now what happens if, when he originally accepts upon himself to bring the animal, he says, I am accepting upon myself to bring toido min achulin, a korban toido from chulin, for my own money, which is not Maisesheni, v'lachma min ha'maiser. But I want to bring the loaves which accompany it from Maisesheni money. Since the loaves only are there to accompany the main korban, just like the main korban is a regular obligation upon him now, which he cannot spend Maisesheni money on, therefore, yovi lachma min ha'chulin, even the bread must come from chulin money and not Maisesheni money. However, if he originally designates toido min ha'maiser v'lachma min ha'chulin, I'm going to bring a korban toida using my Maisesheni money, and the bread which accompanies it, I'll use regular chulin money. Yovi, he is permitted to bring it as he stated, because over here, it never became an obligation which he's now trying to exempt himself from using my Maisesheni money. When he originally obligated himself to bring the korban, he voluntarily obligated himself to bring the korban. And he made a condition that I am obligating myself to do so, but I'm going to use my Maisesheni money. And that is permitted. And likewise, HaToido hi v'lachma min ha'maiser, if he accepts upon himself to bring the korban toido and its loaves from Maisesheni money, yovi, he is able to do so. Now, in a case where he is able to bring the loaves from Maisesheni money, the Mishnah says, v'lo yovi mechitei Maisesheni. He can't use Maisesheni wheat itself as the wheat and the flour for the sake of the loaves. Ela mimois Maisesheni. He can only use Maisesheni money to buy new flour for the sake of this korban and the loaves which accompany the korban. And this particular limit is learnt from Psukim. Mishnah Vov. This Mishnah is an explanation of that which was stated in the previous Mishnah. From where do we know that somebody who states that I want to accept upon myself to bring a korban toida, that he can only fulfill that obligation using chulin money, but not Maisesheni money? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, regarding a korban Pesach, v'zovachto Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha, you shall slaughter a korban Pesach for the sake of Hashem your God, tzoin uvokar, from tzoin and bokar. Tzoin refers to sheep and goats, smaller animals, whereas bokar, cattle, refers to large animals like cows and oxen. And this Pasuk is extremely strange, because v'haloi ein Pesach bo elam l'akvosim u'na'izim. A korban Pesach can only be bought from sheep or goats, as is explicitly stated in a posuk elsewhere. So why is the posuk referring to bokar, which refers to sheep and oxen, when talking about the korban Pesach? Elo, rather, it is lahakish kol abomin habokar min atzoin haPesach, to compare any animal, any korban which is bought from either bokar or tzoin, to a korban Pesach. Mo haPesach shubo b'chayva. Just like a korban Pesach, which is bought as an obligation, everybody is obligated to bring a korban Pesach. Einu bo'elam na'chulin. One is only able to bring that korban Pesach using chulin money, money from his own pocket. He can't use Maisesheni money, and this is learnt from the fact that the original korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, certainly did not come from Maisesheni money, because Maisesheni only began once they entered Eretz Yisrael. So just like the Korban Pesach, which certainly was not bought from Maisesheni money, because it began already from Egypt, so too, af kol davar shubo b'chayva, so too anything which comes as an obligatory korban, lo yovei enam l'chulin, can only come from chulin money and not Maisesheni money. L'fichoch, therefore, ho'im ha'ri alai toida, ha'ri alai shlomim. One who states, I am accepting upon myself to bring a korban toida, or I am accepting upon myself to bring a korban shalomim, hoil v'hin b'ayim chayva. Since they are now coming as an obligation, he now obligated himself to bring a korban, lo yovei el min ha'chulin. He can only bring them from chulin, not from something which has the status of Maisesheni. And the Mishnah ends off that this entire permission to ever bring korbanos from Maisesheni money is only because you eat the korbanos. It refers only to korbanos which you would eat. Whereas Sheni must ultimately be consumed in Yerushalayim. And therefore, we had Sochim b'chol mokoim. The Sochim, which refers to the flour or the wine which accompanies the sacrifices, and is burnt fully on the Mizbeach, so in any case, Le'avayu Elam Nacholin. It can only come from Cholin and not Maaseh Sheni, because none of it is eaten, and therefore it cannot be bought from Maaseh Sheni money.